On today's episode, we discuss some of the announcements made at the Destination D23 event last weekend and what is going on with the halt of annual pass sales. We also have some dining reviews from The Boathouse and California Grill. This is episode 378 of the Capture the Magic podcast. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name is Jared Lee, and I'm joined, as usual, by my lovely wife, Jamie Lee. So, Jamie, how are you doing?
Just dandy. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, just good.
I'm good, yeah.
Okay.
I'm catching back up on sleep. We were at Universal part of the weekend, and as the pattern has been, our son has taken it upon himself to be the one that makes sure that nobody gets sleep.
To be fair, he would go to sleep. We try to get him to sleep by like 10, which is, you know, we always do late nights when we're at Disney. But he was up by 6 o'clock every morning.
Well, he enjoys the finer things in life, like waking up at 2 in the morning and just...
He didn't do that these two times, though.
He did a couple times.
He just didn't sleep long.
When it's bad, but yeah. Well, maybe it was one of the nights. So we stayed over at Hard Rock at Universal, and we'll have a full review of it, but enjoyed it. But I will say the one thing about it was we did find out if you wanted to get a hamburger, it was kind of difficult because nobody just sold straight hamburgers.
Not at Hard Rock.
Apparently not. And City Walk didn't do to go. I don't know. The whole thing. So anyways, it ended up me trying to be like, well, I'll go to Burger King. I'm not kidding you. I went to two different Burger Kings that were 10 minutes apart. Both were open, but I went to the drive-thru window and nobody said nobody acknowledged my existence for 10 minutes at each one. And I was like, this is great. So then I just ended up going to McDonald's, which apparently at 11 o'clock at night was...
the place to be.
Apparently. It took me 20 minutes. So basically, going and getting a burger took about 2 hours, and I didn't get to bed until like 1.
And then, that was a rough night.
But I got a burger, though.
You did. Yeah. You did.
I will say, usually at Disney, it's not hard to get a burger if you want a burger. But
yeah. It was just because it was late, anyway, lots of factors.
It was interesting, but yeah. So that was one of the things. So I woke up. I think I had like 4 hours of sleep, and he woke me up at 6. I was like, this is fantastic. But I'm catching up on sleep, but we do have Thanksgiving is this week. So
yes, we do.
Hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm excited for the tatoes, the mashed potatoes.
The taters.
Potatoes. Turkey, yes. Mushrooms, yes. Rolls, yes. It's great being around family and friends and.
Well, for us, it's just going to be friends, but.
Right. I know, but a family, the four of us.
Well, true. We are a family. That is true. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to have like a Friendsgiving thing. We're not going back to Missouri.
Right.
For Thanksgiving, so.
And our friends are also not going to be with their family, so we're all just going to.
Well, and I'm not sad because one of our friends is like essentially a professional cook, so I'm just like, okay, this works.
You want to make stuff cool.
Yeah, so. Cool so over, if you're traveling or anybody else, hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. And if you're going to do some shopping, we do have some Black Friday stuff, so there's going to be 25% off on the whole, well, not everything, but up to 25% off in the shop. And then we did release two new Christmas scents for the candle, the 1901 Candle Company. So we've got Christmas on Main Street.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm excited about that one just because anytime you mention Main Street, anything, I'm like, these are going to evoke some very good smells. So I'm excited about that one.
as it may. So the Christmas on Main Street is, it's got... Christmas sugar, top maple. Notes of maple, sugar, spiced cinnamon, vanilla, caramel, cookie dough, and warm hints of tonka bean, sugar, and cream. So it's very much sweet. And then we also have Santa's Workshop, which is a blend of clove, sweet vanilla, and the tonka bean again. But it's kind of like a candy cane, what you would imagine Santa's Workshop would smell like. So we've got those added to the shop. So
yay.
If you want to check out the sale or the new candles, you can go to CTM.com. shirts.com and check those out. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about, we got some new stuff. We got some stuff at D23 mm-hmm. that we will discuss. Then we're going to talk about some reviews that we did on one of our last trips. We did the Boathouse brunch. Mm-hmm. And then we had dinner at California Grill.
For our anniversary, which had happened 2 months earlier.
But we chose to celebrate it later because California Grill, I don't know if you guys know this, is a hoity-toity meal.
Hoity-toity. It was fun.
It was good. Yep. Not to give anything away.
But no, not at all.
Perhaps it was terrible. Or was it? Or was it great? You'll have to listen to find out. But before we discuss any of that, we just wanted to remind you to check out some of the other shows on the Captain Magic Network. We have the Captain Magic Universal show. And like we said, we were just there. We stayed at Hard Rock. We did some of the Christmas stuff there. So we'll have a new episode of that coming out next week
on Monday.
Check out some of the Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can catch it on this feed or on its own feed as well. We also have Trip Tales, which is Jamie's Trip Report show, where she has someone on hit just fresh from a Disney/Universal trip or maybe other places eventually. And then they basically discuss the trip in great detail. So if you're looking for a good resource for trip planning and firsthand information, it's a really good show. So you can catch it on this feed. You can also go to ctmtriptales.com. And if you're part of Club 32, you actually get early access to Trip Tales at least a week in advance, so you can get that episode early. And now Trip Tales is twice a month, so mm-hmm. you can get early access twice. Plus in Club 32, there's access to Club 32 exclusive shows like Distory, which we discuss the past, present, and future of anything Disney related. So I have a new one coming out this month. We also have Cool Kids Kitchen, where Jamie and I discuss things, but we make a Disney dish. We've got some Disney cookbooks and drinks, so we remake a Disney dish. It's always a good time in there. We also have Club 32 Speakeasy, where I will just go live on the back porch and hang out, which is always a good time. And then there's a private podcast feed where you can catch basically all the content on there. There's even some music loops from the parks on there. Rant Corner, which I'll be doing more of those on there. Then when we're at the parks, we do live streams, and plus you get this episode. Right now we're live in Club 32. We kind of hang out with Club 32 before we actually start recording, so we get all kinds of extra stuff. So again, if you want to join that, plus you get apparel discounts and candle discounts, you can go to ctmvip.com and go check it out. We have yearly and monthly options on there. And of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention our great travel agency sponsor, Zippity Doodah Travel. So if you're looking to go to Disney or Universal, head on over to travelwithzip.com, and there's a form there you can fill out, and whatever details about your trip that you have, just put them in there, and they will get you hooked up with an agent, and they will basically help you plan a great trip. And the best part is, first off, the service is great. The agents are fantastic. They will make the trip planning and the execution of your trip 10 times better, but it doesn't cost you anything. So it's basically a free travel assistant that makes your life easier. So I don't know why you wouldn't take anybody up on that. And we've had some people ask if you do want to transfer a trip you have, you potentially could do that. I don't know the details on that. But again, if you can go to ctmtriptales.com travelwithzip.com and just put in the details of what you're looking to do, they'll help you figure out if you can do that or not. So, and then again, if you book at least a 3-night package through that link, we will throw in some goodies. We'll give you a free t-shirt. You get $10 in shop credit, and then Zip will leave a gift for you at your hotel that you can go pick up whenever you like. So,
yes.
And not like us, where we forget and we left at the hotel.
Whoops.
We kind of forgot. So, again, go to travelwithzip.com. So, all right. Let's talk about some news. First one we have are some announcements that were made at Destination D23. I suppose we should say, for maybe people that aren't aware, what is Destination D23?
Well, D23 is the official Disney fan club, and they basically had a conference or a convention at Disney World last weekend, and it was just a place to come together and there was announced. Josh DeMaro made some announcements about things that are coming up, and they have panels that discuss, history or art or movies, TV, whatever about Disney. So it's it's just a big place to come together, I guess. Talk about Disney.
Well, and the thing is, a lot of times there's usually you know, announcements are usually made at this about
right.
stuff coming to the parks or movies and such.
Like but. The D23 event in Anaheim in 2015 was when they announced Galaxy's Edge.
Correct.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So a couple of things that they announced at this year's D23 event was that Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, the ride in Epcot, is opening summer 2022. That's as specific as they got, summer 2022. And we did get confirmation that the ride is in its own universe. It is not canon in the MCU. And this was confirmed by the director, James Gunn.
I don't quite understand that. I mean, I guess they do it just in case they decide to do something with... I'm guessing it's so down the line, if the movies do something different, they don't have to change the ride.
So it seems to me it might be like it's going back to like as the characters were in the first movie.
Okay, I was wondering that too.
Because there's adult Groot and Gamora, which if you've already right. gone through phase four of the MCU, you know that it's baby Groot.
Except now I think the
teenage
next one,
Groot.
Well, the next one I think would be adult Groot again, maybe?
I don't know.
Either way.
And then Gamora's a different Gamora. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, right.
So it's all, you know, different. So it's not gonna be canon. Anyway.
But at least we got like an opening, well, a rough opening date.
Yes. I'm excited about that ride. So and then Fantasmic is returning in 2022, and there's gonna be a new scene that's added. And they have done a bunch of work on the stage, like the seating area and the stage, because it's been shut down since the pandemic.
Yeah.
They've been working on it. So that's good. It's coming back. The Festival of Fantasy Parade is returning in 2022. Yay. We don't have a like a daytime parade.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
I'm glad there's a parade coming. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's been the big gripe for well before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
About a lack of parade, so.
Well, lack of nighttime parades.
True.
Yes, and that we still haven't heard anything about that, but we're getting the Festival of Fantasy back. And then there's a Disney Adventures Friends Cavalcade coming in spring 2022, and it's got a lot of Disney and Pixar characters. Like, apparently has a lot of characters on this cavalcade, and cavalcades are here to stay. They're going to have parades and cavalcades working together.
I was a little surprised that they, since they're bringing back the parade, that they're keeping the cavalcades. But have they said if they're doing the cavalcades like at Magic Kingdom? Are they talking cavalcades more in the other parks?
I think it's everywhere.
Okay.
I think it's everywhere.
I was just kind of surprised to hear that, because it would make sense, like, if you don't have a parade at like the other parks, to do the cavalcades there.
Well, there's no cavalcades at Epcot anymore.
Right. But does that mean they're coming back to Epcot?
That I don't think it was said. I don't think that is what they said. But
I didn't hear anything either on that. So
it's just Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, basically.
Right.
So, Mickey's Magical Friendship Fair is returning to spring 2022 with new songs and costume. That's the castle show they do.
Right.
During the day. And there's Finding Nemo, The Big Blue and Beyond is replacing the Finding Nemo, the musical at Animal Kingdom. And this new one is like a new story, new everything, set in the Finding Dory timeline.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the Epcot construction, all the Epcot stuff they're doing right now, should be complete by 2023. Which
Sounds
we knew
right.
was going to take
yeah.
forever.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh DeMaro did a little demonstration on the lightsaber
Yeah.
thing, which is pretty cool.
It looked cool.
Apparently, the one he used to show it looks like a legit lightsaber, you know, is not, like, you won't be able to do that, like, on the Star Cruiser, the Star Wars hotel, but you do get to do, like, lightsaber training, which he didn't show that as well. That looks pretty cool.
So, basically, they showed you a really cool lightsaber that you can't use.
Well, not for the Star Cruiser, no. But
like, this thing's really awesome. You can't have it.
I wonder how much it'll be. Thousands of dollars.
I could see
they can make so much money on it. Thousands.
I'm gonna
of dollars.
Say at the very least it's gonna be 500.
Okay.
Because if you do the experience, I mean, okay, if without the experience, you can get a lot of those lightsabers for like 100 and something. If you do the experience, it's in the 200s. So if it's a lifelike lightsaber,
I think it is.
Yeah, I would say 500 at least, if not more.
Okay.
Be my guess.
And there's been, you know, there are a lot of other little announcements here and there, but the only other one I was going to mention was that, there's a new restaurant that is replacing Electric Umbrella at Epcot. And mm-hmm. there's just more information about it. It's called Connections Cafe and Eatery. And it's in that former Innovations East building, again, replacing Electric Umbrella. And there's some art, there's some concept art, and looks pretty cool. It reminds me a lot of the Creation Shop.
Yeah.
Like the same kind of light and colors and stuff. But yeah, it's just a brand new quick service, and it looks pretty cool.
I mean, I'm glad they're putting a quick service in that spot.
I mean, that Future World is very much lacking. Future World, whatever it is now, the neighborhoods, the World Celebration, right, World Discovery, is severely lacking that on that side of the park.
For you sure.
Know? They've got Sunshine Seasons over in the land, over in the mall. But
yeah, the food court, yeah.
The food court, yeah.
Always good. Although I have been missing lately, they have not been giving out the Chinese food samples.
Oh, yeah.
That was a joke, because if you've ever been to a food court, they tend to... Hey.
No, didn't they? They used to do that, didn't they? I swear they did.
No, I was just simply making a terrible joke about when you would go through food courts in the mall, there was always Asian food places giving you pieces of chicken.
I do love that. I loved that.
And in high school, you would go back and forth and make a meal out of it.
Well, now we know what you did in high school.
As far as I know, I don't believe that they've ever given out Chinese food samples in the land. But if they did, it would be very...
Maybe they didn't. I don't know.
It would be very along the lines of it being a mall.
Well,
so
all right then.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all the announcements we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. I was going to ask, on the Guardians coaster, what we know about it, it does seem very similar to the Escape from Gringotts, correct? In terms of the way that ride it. So Escape from Gringotts is the ride over at Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. That is, it seems similar in that it's a roller coaster with screens that turn and kind of tell a story as you go along.
That's the feeling I get from it. I don't think it's exactly like that.
I don't think it'd be exactly, but I think that may be the concept, which I get.
Technology's similar.
Right.
Yeah. I think this is more like this shoots you. Shoot out, you go faster.
Well, there's a part in that one in Gringotts where you shoot up and go pretty quick.
I guess you do.
When you're the dragon's pulling you.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd be curious to see.
Yeah.
But it's a quote unquote family coaster.
Right.
So it's not something that's gonna be like super intense.
Right. We'll have to see in summer 2022.
I'm excited about it. So
all right.
All right. Well, that was a lot of stories back to back to back there. So the next singular one, I suppose, we have. Disney has paused sales of certain tiers of Disney World annual passes.
Yeah. So this happened, I think it was Monday. Yesterday for us?
I think it was yesterday, yeah.
You know, back in September, I think it was September, they started selling annual passes again. They just revamped the whole program and everything. Well, this is kind of, they had said that they would maybe temporarily halt sales. They would stop selling if they needed to, like based on availability. So I just didn't think it would be 2 months after they started selling them. Okay. So what it is, three of the four annual pass offerings are unavailable. The only one that is available to buy right now is the Disney Pixie Dust Pass. And that's the lowest tiered pass that's only available for Florida residents. And it is like the most restrictive. So it has the most blockout dates and all that. So they haven't said when they're going to resume sales. It's assumed that they might start selling again the beginning of 2022.
It's assumed, though. They haven't said.
Yeah, like they might just be stopping for right now, get through the holiday season, and then resume. You know, we don't really know for sure. But I believe, and I got a lot of questions on this, especially on Instagram, about like, why are they doing this? Like, why did they stop it? So if you keep up with the news, like in Disneyland, their Magic Key, like the pass holder program, they sold a lot of the Magic Key passes.
Right.
And they had to stop selling them, like the most least restrictive one, I think, because there was zero availability for park reservations for like a lot of people. And so they had these passes and they weren't able to use them. So I think Disney was like, you know what? We're going to stop selling Disney World passes so we don't get to that point. Because it was looking like the holiday season, I think, and this is just me thinking,
yeah.
I think the holiday season was looking so busy. Like, for example, Thanksgiving right now, Thanksgiving week, they have stopped selling day tickets for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think.
Right.
So yeah. you can't buy a ticket if you haven't already have it, and there's no park passes left. So I think they're thinking that if they go ahead and stop selling the highest tier passes, that it's going to kind of make it so where there's enough availability for everyone that is going to go that's already booked. And Disney did warn everybody. They said, you need to book now because it's going to be busy. They did this like 2 weeks ago, I think.
I don't think it's any one thing. I kind of feel like this is like a perfect, not a perfect storm, but it's like a whole bunch of things. So there is that aspect, like you were saying.
I think that's a big aspect.
I think that's part of it. I think another one could be staffing. I don't, the timing of this coinciding with them pausing or having to pause their vaccine mandate potentially could be part of it as well somehow. Maybe they're.
But what would that have to do with selling more passes? Just
well,
more people in the park?
Going to the staffing side. That's what I'm saying. Like maybe they don't have enough staff for the amount of people that potentially could come sort of situations. Like they know this stuff at the park. Like again, the reservation system gives them a lot of intel to be able to see like here's who's planning to come, who has a reservation versus how is the staffing. Like it could be a situation like that maybe, you know, or maybe it also could be a little bit too of them doing this to basically sort of create, you know, one of the best marketing tactics you can use is creating scarcity, you know? And so I'm not saying they're doing this directly for that, but it definitely doesn't hurt if you were on the fence about wanting to get one and all of a sudden you can't get one. You know, mentally or psychologically, that makes people go, oh man, okay, the next time it's open, I better get it. Like, you know, it could be that. I think you're probably right about a lot of it just could be the very busy time of year, especially compared to last year. But it could be a little bit of everything in there.
Well, I think whatever the reason is, I think it is directly related to the park reservation system.
I think so too. That's why staffing made sense because, I mean, obviously staffing is an issue across the board.
Everywhere.
And Disney is still, and one thing that's interesting, they're still utilizing the MERS buses for the bus transportation, which means they haven't gotten back enough bus drivers internally to handle all the buses they've been using.
Right.
So they're still supplementing there. So it would make sense. Maybe it is something to do with, obviously, the park reservation system and they may not just have the staff to be able to handle a certain amount of people.
And they also may be thinking, you know, they have all the algorithms they use for where we can cut costs here, where we can spend money here. Maybe they're looking at how many passes they have sold or how many people that come to parks are annual pass holders and think, okay, we need to push more people away from annual passes so we can make more money on, you know,
for
sure.
Tickets. Again, it's a lot of it of, I mean, them admitting a couple weeks ago, I remember making a point of saying they admitted to having an internal algorithm, which was interesting because they'd never admitted that. As far as I know, they'd never admitted that before.
I don't remember, but
That could be that. I mean, they're getting very, I mean, if you look at the way Disney's being managed now, and I don't know if it's, I don't know if you can say this is all Chapek. I mean, I'm sure a lot of this is happening underneath Iger, but it is very much, you can almost tell it's not using a spreadsheet, but the best way to visualize it is like basically managing from a spreadsheet and breaking it down and saying, oh, let's do this and make more money here. And like just picking up every opportunity they have to make more money.
Right.
And so it could be that. It could be them, you know, wanting to push people that way. Or maybe, you know, maybe the annual pass sales were higher than the day ticket, you know, in conjunction comparison to the day ticket sales. And they know a lot of people come from out of state and they just say, okay, well, you know, have more people get the day tickets because they're going to make more money potentially that way. So,
that's what we think.
We don't know, obviously, but yeah. So we'll see. I mean, if the first of the year,
I think they'll resume.
It would make sense first of the year because that's when things typically slow down.
Yep.
So
anyway.
Yeah. So we will see on that. So next news story we have is the Candlelight Processional dining packages will be available same day and include quick service restaurants.
Yes. So I believe they did this in 2019 or 2018, I can't remember, where you were, where they had quick service dining options for this. So they're bringing this back. So right now, so there are only four restaurants available for ADRs for the Candlelight Processional Dining packages. And those have been going so fast. So Disney will be making day of dining packages available for Regal Eagle and Spice Road Table. So you have to sign up directly at the restaurant day of. So if you want it, if you want that quick service dining package, you're going to need to go like first of the day, like when it first opens, because those are going to go quick. And then just so you know, show times for the Candlelight Processional are 5:15, 7, and 8:30, and they start November 26th. So, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, it's an option if you don't have a dining, a regular dining package, do a quick service dining package.
So, what's, do they have the price? Is the pricing any different on that?
I don't know. I don't know the prices. In the years past, I want to say for, because I think it was just Regal Eagle the last time. And again, my memory may be failing me, but I believe it was just, it was $20 a person if you did Regal Eagle.
Okay.
Like for the dining package.
Right.
So, so it'd be maybe more than you'd spend on a regular meal there, but you know, it's for the dining package. So.
Right. Yeah. Alrighty. Next story we have is about New Year's Eve fireworks are returning this year.
Yeah. The Fantasy in the Sky fireworks. Mm-hmm. They're coming back. They're coming back.
Well, that's good.
So, and I think Magic Kingdom's up until 1 on the 30th and the 31st, I believe. So,
we're going to go and stay up till 1 in the morning, right?
No, we're blocked out. We can't, man.
I know. We're going to be in probably Missouri anyway.
We probably will be, yeah. Anyway, so that's exciting. And then the Creperie de Paris. The creperie place in Paris in Epcot is now taking ADRs. You can now make reservations
for subpar crepes.
I actually made one just in case you want to try it.
And this is the one where you sit inside, correct?
This is the one you sit inside. This is the one where I can get the bananas and caramel one because that's the one I want.
But here's the thing. I've talked to five separate people that did not know each other and who went to the sit down in there, and all of them said they did not care for it.
Hmm.
It's very odd.
Is it just an acquired taste thing? Like we're, like us as Americans, is just we're not used to it?
Are you saying the French are more advanced than us when it comes to our taste? I mean, yeah, if you're telling me, if you could give me a crepe with a bunch of steak in it, I might like it more. No.
I don't. It may not be good.
I'm just putting an American thing on it. But no, like we made crepes as part of the Cool Kids Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And they were really, I honestly, truly, they were better than the ones that we had at the crepe place there. And it was the same type. It was butter and cinnamon and sugar.
Uh-huh.
Which is, I mean, it's just a crepe, and then you put butter and you put cinnamon sugar on it.
That sounds good.
It's very simple, yeah. But it wasn't very good there.
Right.
And we made the one here, which I'm not going to, I mean, the first time I ever made crepes, I don't think I did anything extraordinary, and they were better.
You did great. Yep.
So I'm just confused as to why they're not good there. Like, they should be. They look good. And it's not that I won't try them in there.
Well, I know the savory crepes are some kind of like buckwheat mix.
I would not recommend those. That's one of the ones I had, yeah. And it was not good.
Yeah.
So we did the walk-up window. So we had one of those types, and we had some of the sweet ones. Mm-hmm. And they were okay, but they weren't. I didn't think they were like amazing.
To be fair, it had only been open for a little bit. Maybe they're just finding their groove. Maybe they're better now.
I feel like crepes are pretty easy, though.
I don't know, Jared. I'm trying to give them the benefit
of
the doubt.
I mean, I'm a little disappointed that they didn't have a French chef back there making the crepes.
Dang, I know, man.
Maybe they did, and it was like a Simon Cowell, and he was like yelling at them all.
I hope not.
They're not Simon Cowell. It would be what's-his-face. What's the guy that calls him idiot sandwich?
The Gordon Ramsay?
Yes.
Yeah.
How funny it would be if you go to order a crepe, and you just see him back there yelling at people in French, just calling them terrible names because they can't make crepes correctly. That would be like a dinner and a show.
Yes, it would.
Get your crepe, and then you watch them insult them for making subpar crepes.
Oh, I don't want to see that. That makes me sad.
What if a restaurant did that, though? Like, the food wasn't that good, and they knew it, so they brought in a guy. So, like, your food comes out, and you're like, oh, this isn't very good, and the guy just goes back and just starts yelling at him. I feel like it would be an interesting, like, concept. Like, well, the food wasn't that good, but I did watch him make some really interesting insults at those people.
This is a great idea that you should start. You should start doing this.
I mean, it's kind of the whole concept of his
entire thing, which
is just him being mean to people and people being like, "I like him."
Yes.
Anyway. That's all the news stories that we have.
Yes.
Unless they decide to take that restaurant idea, do that. But
I think so.
They may not do that. Well, we do have a poll time.
We do have a poll time.
What's your poll time?
So my poll time this week.
You didn't
poll
sing.
Time.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Sing.
I am terrible.
The last time you didn't sing poll time, I'm not even kidding. There was like 15 emails.
There were not emails.
There were emails.
Whatever.
I had emails and then I had messages and I was like, they're like, Jamie didn't sing poll time. And I was like, I'm not actually kidding about this. This was real. And I was like, really?
Okay. Sorry. Poll time.
There. Thank you. My Better? Inbox thanks you.
Your inbox thanks you. Great. Okay. So I asked a question in Capture the Magic Community Facebook group. How many different hotels would you stay at during one Disney World vacation? So on your Disney vacay, how many hotels do you want to stay at, or how many split stays do you want to do?
None.
Well, let's give the answer that people gave.
You looked at
me
like you were asking me.
No, I'll ask you in a minute, but I already know now. Oh, okay. So 54% said they would stay at two hotels or just do one split stay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. 42% said one hotel. I ain't moving.
I like those people. Those are my people.
And then 4% said three or more hotels, two or more split stays. So they would move multiple times.
Psychopaths.
I'm guessing those people may not have children.
Well, I was going to say, this is...
That's hard.
This is definitely the one way to tell what percentage of the audience has children. Because I will say, I would do, if it was you and I...
If we could just throw stuff in like one suitcase,
right.
And oh,
if it was you and
so
I,
easy.
You were like, oh, we could split stay Riviera and we could go here, and it was like a 5-day thing, and be like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was two or three, I could handle that.
Yeah.
With kids,
and all of our stuff.
If you're like, hey, you want to go to a different hotel, I'd be like, get out of my face right now. Like, I'm not packing up because I'm the one that had to pack everything up. I push the car. I'm just saying, it's a lot of stuff.
I pack most of it.
No, I'm just saying.
Roll the
no,
car.
I'm saying the Tetris stacking of
into
it all
into the car. Gotcha.
Yeah. It's always a thing, and then like it's just a whole process. So it's like, yeah, if the kids are with us, wherever that stuff ends up, it's not moving.
Yes.
And I don't trust Disney to take my stuff.
Oh, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't.
Well,
do
remember
the
one time we did it, and they lost all the food, and then.
Oh, I did.
And I just don't trust people much.
No, you don't. Well, anyway, most people, you know, like I said, most people said they would do a split stay, but like almost as many said they wouldn't. But the consensus is like, do like two nights, at least two nights, one place, and then the rest of it, another place. But like, it would be hard to do like one night and then one night.
Oh, that
and
would
then
be
one
horrible.
Night.
Like you never could really relax.
Well, and if you listen to the most recent Trip Tales, which is kind of why I put this question up here, is even Kate said that. She's like, it was so hard because like you couldn't just go back to your hotel in midday and relax.
Right.
Because from the time they checked out at like, you know, 9, 10, 1 o'clock to like 4, they didn't have room.
Right.
Everything. It was just like in limbo.
Yeah.
She's like, so that part was harder. So that's kind of the feeling there. But thank you everybody for participating in the poll this week. I will have a new one next week.
Yes. And if you want to, yeah, if you want to be a part of the next one, you can join the Capture Magic Facebook community. That's where the polls take place.
Yes.
And you can participate in the next one and your voice will be heard. So
that's right.
Well, another, I know a good segue. I was going to say another way your voice could be heard, but it's not really that. If you want to start your day with fantastic coffee, you could go to ctmexpedition.com and get some coffee from Expedition Roasters,
yes,
which make excellent coffee.
Yes.
Ergo, why you would want it sent to your house.
Yes.
And they even have some new, they have an eggnog blend, and they have their peppermint blend, so they got the Christmas/winter blends. It's really, really good coffee, and it's like, it's one of those where it's subtly flavored. So anytime, I know some people hear flavored coffee and you immediately think, oh gosh, it's going to be chemically tasting and it's not going to be that good. It's actually not the case. It's really good. They use really good beans and it's very subtle flavoring. And it's nothing that like overpowers it. So it's, you know, I've had some of those flavored coffees that I won't name any you know, names like Great Value, but that are not the best and kind of have a weird taste to them. These are very good. So again, they're a really good small business that we've been, you know, working with for 2 or 3 years now. We enjoy them. We love them. And they have really good, you know, really good products. So you can go to ctmexpedition.com and that link will automatically apply 15% off to your order. You don't have to remember promo code or anything like that. It'll get you 15% off and on every order you place. So go there, go get some, if you want some Christmas, really good stocking stuffers or just stuff for yourself. And if they have the sampler pack, if you don't know what to get, the sample pack is good if they have it in stock. And yeah, go check them out, ctmexpedition.com. So, all right, well, let's talk about some food that we had on our last trip. So we actually had to split this because we talked about food. What's the last episode or the episode before?
Did we talk about it before? Last episode was the dessert party and the fireworks.
Okay, that was, yeah. So that one, we were going to fit in. At first, the idea was we'll do Boathouse and California Grill with those. And I was like, that's just too much stuff.
No,
so we've split up into this one. So technically, we did California Grill before Boathouse, right?
No, we did it the same day. We did Boathouse that morning.
Was
and
it?
Then California Grill that night.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We are fancy people. Okay. Anyways, all right. So we did Boathouse brunch.
Uh-huh.
Which we just recently did Boathouse back when your mom was in town a couple months
but
back.
But it was lunch.
It was lunch, not brunch. So.
And this is only offered on Sundays.
Yeah.
I think just Sundays.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about our experience over there at Boathouse. So first off, if you've never been to Boathouse, it's at Disney Springs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a seafood restaurant that also serves, you know, regular meats and things like that as well.
Regular meats.
Well, I meant regular food, including meats, but not regular meats.
It's yummy.
It's good, and it's the atmosphere there. I enjoy. I will say about this place, I love the atmosphere, and I love. I've said it before, the playlist that they have going in here. It's his boat music.
Boat music. It's yacht rock, dude.
It is the best. Honestly, it's the best ambiance to a meal I've had, which is like. Nice boat 80s music.
Yeah.
And they had videos of just boats in water.
Oh, yeah. It's just boats on the water.
It's fantastic.
It was so fun.
And for brunch, they had the dueling piano guys there.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the they play at Jelly Rolls, right?
Yes,
and
yeah.
So the same guys, I can't remember their names. I apologize. They were playing the piano in the piano room, which is where... Jill, who had made the reservation, I think she requested the piano room, didn't she?
She did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we sat like, you know, a couple of feet away from the guys, but, they played really good music and like, you can sing along if you want to. What's it called? Like Captain's Brunch or something they call it.
I think technically that. Yeah.
I did
feel much like a captain.
He did play one Christmas song.
He did.
He's like, I know it's early 'cause it was November 7th. Like, I know it's early for Christmas, but I'm gonna play one Christmassy song. So he did, but
and everybody booed.
No,
I'm just kidding. So I will say, first off, ambiance here,
yeah,
right off the bat was like 10 out of 10.
Yeah,
like just it's, I mean, it's got a lot of light in there too. You're on the water. It was a nice day too. It was like, what's 10 o'clock, 10:30?
Yeah, 10:15.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it was one of those mornings where it wasn't chilly. But
no,
it
felt great.
It felt great. It was, yeah, it was a really good day.
It was a good morning.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Location, ambiance, everything.
It was busy. It was very busy. People were checking in and stuff. And, you know, there's different sections of the restaurant look like have a different aesthetic. So we sat in the first one, like near the bar. It's a lot of wood, a lot of dark wood. And it's got that actual boat in the center, which I saw a family sitting there. They looked like they were having fun.
Oh, they got to sit in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to sit in the boat sometime.
That would be fun to sit in the boat.
Yeah.
But they have like the gift shop that's in the restaurant. Uh-huh. And they've got like toward the back where we sat like the first time we went is all like white and looks like the captain's quarters kind of area.
Right.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so. It looks like you're on a boat, man. It looks like you're on a yacht.
It's very yacht, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so do you want to talk about the menu?
Well, I was going to ask. I thought you had something else to add. Yeah, what is the menu for the brunch?
Well, I won't go through all of it. I'll just give you a few of the choices. So, like, there's a smoked salmon bagel. You can do avocado toast. You can do steak and eggs, chicken biscuits and gravy. Shrimp and grits, crab cakes, Benedict, Lakeside breakfast, which is just like eggs and bacon and stuff, and Belgian waffle. And what did you have?
I had the chicken biscuits and gravy.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did. How was that? Because wasn't it like spicy?
Well, I asked, I was kind of what's the gravy say exactly?
Creole onion gravy.
That's right. So they said Creole onion, and I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Creole. So I was like, so they said, we'll put it on the side, which it really was. It tasted like white gravy. Maybe had a little bit of spice to it, but it wasn't anything like super spicy. So
that's good.
No, it was really good. It was breaded, you know, deep fried type chicken. Mm-hmm. So, but it was like, it wasn't like fried chicken what you're thinking. It was more like of a, I can't remember the type of breading.
Panko?
Panko, yes.
Panko.
That on there, so it was good. The biscuits were solid. Like it was interesting. Normally biscuits and gravy, I've never had it with chicken like that, but it was good. Like mm-hmm. I also had lobster bisque.
You sure did. And I at my urgency, I was like, you gotta get it.
Bisque. I will say it may have been even better this time around. It is
was it really?
It is the best lobster bisque I've had. I'm sure it is not calorie friendly because it is
probably not
very creamy and good, but
would you go there just for the lobster bisque?
Absolutely. Okay. It's really that good. Like it, I'm not.
What is it about it that's so good?
It's first off, it's very, like the texture is very creamy and like, I mean, mm-hmm. okay, it's a type of, you know, soup. You've got like your chowders and you've got like more liquid soups. This is like in the
broth.
Middle.
You mean like yeah. broth? Okay.
This is like in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's got a good texture. It's got a creaminess to it, but it's got a lot of that lobster flavor to it. It's just, mm-hmm. I just really like it.
Were there chunks of lobster?
There's
in
not.
It?
No, there's
okay.
not.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, I mean, it's similar to like, I talked about tomato soup over at Riviera. It's very similar to that in that, okay. but I think lobster bisque is better than that one. But I would honestly get this, if I could get this to go, I would get it all the time. It's really good.
All right.
But I highly,
glowing recommendation.
Highly recommend the lobster bisque.
Okay.
Like I literally loved it last time and I think that this time it was even better.
All right. And you can order off the lunch menu. If you want.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
If you don't want the brunch menu, you don't have to. You can order off lunch. Because when we were there, I mean, it was technically like 1 o'clock or 11 o'clock, but it was still brunch. So anyway.
Yeah.
I had the Lakeside breakfast, which is just two eggs, bacon or sausage, home fries, and toast.
And what did you think?
And it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I mean, like it was, the eggs were, I just get them scrambled, but they were better than a lot of other places that have eggs. So I was happy with that. Sausage was good. The home fries were good. The potato pieces, mm-hmm. they were seasoned well. It was great. We did have rolls. They do bring you rolls to begin with.
Oh, those rolls.
Those rolls were very good.
Were those special for brunch? I feel like they were.
I can't remember. I don't think so. I think we had them for lunch.
I don't think they had that. Time. But these had like icing on them. So they were hot rolls that they had like this cinnamon.
They might have been different.
Yeah, like almost like a cinnamon sugar icing on them. Mm-hmm. All I will say is those rolls were fantastic.
Yeah.
Like they were soft.
Yeah, they were good.
Like, and they, I mean, those are unlimited. You can get as many of those as you want.
They were great.
Yeah. It was almost like a donut. How like the it was that good. It was just really good.
Yeah. It was like a cinnamon sugar, like icing thing on the top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Very good. But yeah, that's what I got. And then I want to say, what did Susan get? Salmon cakes?
Yes.
Did she get
the did she get the lobster roll?
That's right. She got the lobster roll. She's a big lobster roll fan. She liked it. She said it was very good. And then Jill got the stone crab claws. And I mean, she was an expert at cracking these. She did it exactly. She knew exactly how much she wanted the butter. Say, she wanted
she
everything.
She knew her way around a snow crab. I will say it reinforced, while I tried a bite of one, which it was good, mm-hmm. but it did reinforce it's a lot more work for food than I would like to do personally. Outside of...
It took her 15 minutes.
Yeah. Outside of hunting it myself,
yeah,
which I would do, but it is good. And I know people that love snow crab, and she loves snow crab. So she said, she said it was fantastic. Like,
yeah.
And she's a very much of an expert on these. So I had it. It was good, but I couldn't tell you. I have not had enough crab and lobster in my life to know like what's considered great and what's not. So...
Nor have I. Just I'm not as big seafood person, so
right.
you know that's okay. But But yeah, she was an expert on them. So if you do like those stone crab claws, that's the place to get them, according to Jill. So
yes,
it was very yummy. But yeah, we didn't get dessert.
No, at that point I was about to burst at the seams.
Rolling out of there.
Well, everything was like very like thick on mine. I mean, the lobster bisque was like a hearty, plus the rolls, plus the biscuits and gravy. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure I had leftovers, which I normally don't.
Did you have leftovers? Yeah. I haven't had the salmon bagel or the avocado toast, but I hear it is good. If that's your thing. Salmon's not my thing.
Considering I loathe salmon, yeah, I mean, I guess I probably wouldn't enjoy it. But if you like salmon, that's the thing about seafood. Like, if you like the certain types of seafood, it's very appealing to you. But if you don't, it's obviously just like a no-go. But
right.
Yeah.
And they did have drinks, obviously, since it's brunch. And I believe, did Susan or Jill get a mimosa? I think she got a mimosa.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have those as well. So, yeah, it was a great experience. We'll definitely be back.
And it really wasn't bad. I think for us, I think it was like 30 something.
It was under 40.
Yeah.
which is funny, just because when we always eat out with like the kids and stuff, it's always like way more than that. But we're like, oh, well, just us.
True. Yeah. But yeah. No, it was good. Like I thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, it's our second time eating here, and said it last time. Mm-hmm. I, at least at this point, it's probably my between it and Homecoming, that, you know, Boathouse and Homecoming are probably my two favorite spots.
Yeah.
At Disney Springs.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I love Homecoming, which, yeah, I need to go back there too. And Boathouse, I honestly, the prices for brunch weren't that bad either. So like we were talking about our bill being low, but like, I think mine was only like 15 and yours was,
I think mine was maybe 14,
14 or 15. And the soup was like,
seven or eight, yeah, somewhere around.
Yeah,
there.
It really wasn't that bad, but
yeah.
But yeah, it was a good experience.
I mean, I will say, I don't know if you give it. What would you give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
For brunch, or just in general?
We'll say in general. Maybe if you have it different for brunch, or then in general, if it's different.
Okay, so the food was great. The company was great. Mm-hmm. The piano players were great.
Yes.
I don't know. 9?
I mean, for brunch, and I was going to say this, the atmosphere in this place I absolutely love. Again, the music, the whole boating thing. Mm-hmm. But for brunch, you've got the piano there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's about as close. If we're not giving away 10s, it's like a 9, 9.5. It was really, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Me too. It was wonderful.
Yeah. And that's for brunch, and or we did lunch before. Both great.
Yes. Agreed.
So, yeah. Anything else you want to add about Boathouse?
I don't think so.
The Boathouse?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's talk about California Grill. So, we had California Grill back in 2015. I think it may have been before that.
Nope, it was 15 because it was our 5-year anniversary.
Okay.
We're only going to be there. We're only going to go for a celebrating anniversary, okay?
Apparently, that's where you go. So it had been a bit since we'd been there. Plus, the menu is different now than it was then. But now it's, at least as the time of this for dinner, it's a prefixed menu.
Yes.
Meaning you have a sort of options you choose for like your appetizer, your main entree, and then dessert. So,
yep.
And I will say the price of this is not cheap. I will say that.
Right. So you want to start with the food then?
We can talk about the choices, and then we'll talk about the price afterwards. But
okay. Well, and then talk about the actual restaurant as well.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So like Jared said, you can choose from the appetizers, and you can either get sushi, you can get lobster bisque. Which I guess you could have gotten again if you wanted.
That wasn't on the menu.
It wasn't on the menu.
It wasn't on our menu. We were there.
Oh, okay. All right. The duck a l'orange pizza, the apple salad, and then there's the braised beef short ribs. And you got the sushi trio.
I did.
And how did you like that?
It was very good.
The California roll, shrimp tapir roll, and the spicy casserole roll.
Yeah. So They were all very good. The spicy or the spicy casserole was pretty good, and then the shrimp tempura was a little bit of spice to it, or not spice, sweetness to it.
Oh, okay.
But no, it was very good as sushi goes. I mean, it's, yeah, as sushi goes, very, very good.
Okay. And then I had the braised beef short rib wontons. These were delicious. They were a little spicy. They were a little spicy
for me. A little bit.
But I thoroughly enjoyed them. I was like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not big on a lot of spice, and I did have to drink a little bit more of water than I thought I would have to. So just, you know, if you go in knowing that, because like a chili, garlic chili.
Yeah. Sauce. I mean, it wasn't, I don't really like, so you're much more, I don't like spicy stuff. You definitely don't compared to
right,
me, but
right.
I didn't find it to be very spicy, but I know you did. So okay, just, fine. No, just giving a range for people. So I'm not somebody who enjoys spicy things. But I didn't think it was too bad. So
fair,
but enough. it was good.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's talk about the, so technically what the appetizers are called are market inspirations.
Right.
And the entree is called chef's journey.
So the entree selections.
Yes. What do we have for entree selections?
Let's see, oak-fired fillet of beef, Monterey Bay, I can't say that word, chipino? I don't know. It's a seafood. Florida Coast Black Grouper, free-range plancha-seared chicken, cast-iron grilled pork tenderloin, handcrafted squash and mushroom ravioli, and then you can get a 35-ounce beef ribeye tomahawk steak for two. I had the pork tenderloin.
And what'd you think?
It was very good. Very good. And that is goat cheese polenta, trumpet mushrooms, heirloom, apple lacquered, pork belly, figs, and then a glaze over it. I think I ate the whole thing.
I had some pieces, but it was
good. Yeah. The meat was just so tender.
The pork belly part was especially really, really good.
So good. Yeah. Like, I mean, you obviously you can go and like have steak anywhere or whatever, but I mean, if you want like good quality cuts of meat, it was delicious.
Well, yeah, and most steak is, yeah, the cut of the meat is probably 90% of it. At that point, you just don't want to overcook it.
Sure. No, they didn't. Oh, and I will say, did they ask me? No, they wouldn't have asked me. They asked you. Oh, it was a different place. Never mind. They asked me what I wanted my steak, and I said medium.
It's hard to say you didn't get steak.
No, I didn't get steak. You did, though. You got...
Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm having a brain thing.
Like, pork is cooked all the way through.
That's true. I'm getting my...
They usually don't go, oh, you like pork. Would you like that medium well? You're like, I'll go medium. Fine, sir.
I'm getting my restaurants mixed up. I apologize.
It's quite okay. But no, the pork tenderloin was very good.
Yes. And you had the what?
I got the oak-fired fillet of beef. You want to read that what it says there? Because I can't see it from here.
Okay. Black truffle brown butter, chateau potatoes, golden raisins, vinaigrette, and cauliflower, and roasted tomato butter.
I will say, this might... I'm trying to think. It may be the best steak I've ever had. It was
so good.
It was.
You let me have a bite, even though it was your favorite steak ever.
I let you have a bite because I love you.
Yes.
I just want you to know.
Yes.
Anybody else's hand that would have gotten that area, it would have become part of my meal. I would have been like, no. But no, it was. I mean, you know, sometimes with steak, it's like the middle can be very good. The ends can be kind of burnt a bit, or not burnt, but more, you know, not evenly cooked. The whole thing. Front to back, all of it was like perfectly. I had it well, or medium is what I had it at. Perfect all the way through, juicy, flavorful. Like it was fantastic. I'm trying to think between that and Topolino's, which steak was better. And I honestly,
oh gosh, they're both so good.
I honestly think California Grill might be a little bit better. It was that good. The potato, there weren't a lot of potatoes. It was good. It had a little sauce there with it. You could put it there if you wanted to. But honestly, it didn't need any sauce. It didn't need anything. It was tender. It was juicy. It was flavorful. Like it was, you know, about the perfect steak, to be quite honest. It was very good.
Yeah. Ooh. I was thinking about Topolino's too. I'm like, oh, so good.
Like, my only complaint was I ran out of meat. That was my only complaint. I was like, yeah. I could have used a bigger piece.
You're like, oh, we should get more.
Well, we did see there were some Club 30 tours. They
crashed our dinner.
The Cooper brothers and Beckers crashed, and they were there, but they came and said hi. But the Cooper brothers shared the 32, or what was it? The
35 ounce
ribeye tomahawk steak, which that needs to be shared between two people because that thing's huge.
I don't think they could finish it.
I don't think they did finish it.
No.
But definitely that one, I'm curious how good that, I'd like to try that one sometime. But yeah, that one looked good as well.
And there is an upcharge for that one.
Yeah, so it's for two. So
yeah, I forgot what the upcharge is.
I think it was 10 or 20.
Something like that.
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
But there was an upcharge because it technically, yeah. I suppose that would have been replacing, like if we would have gotten that, that'd have been both of our entree. And then we each would have had
right.
it. Right. So that's right, why they do that. So
very, very yummy. We finished all that, and then we both got the five magical bites.
Well, okay, I was going to say before we go specifically, we get into the dessert portion, and I will say the whole meal, the weak point of this entire experience is the desserts. So
I guess I should read them through, right?
We can read what is available, and we can kind of talk about it a little bit.
Okay, so there's five magical bites, 50 years in the making. There's an iridescent Grand Marnier souffle. There's a Valrhona chocolate torte, lavender sugar donuts, and chef selection of California cheeses. Right off the bat, can't do the torte because it's got peanuts in it, so I wasn't going to do that. There was also the lavender sugar donuts. It does have pistachio, which I'm not a fan of pistachio, and a coconut, which you don't like.
Well, and here's the thing. So I was... So you had said right off the bat you wanted the magical bites. And normally when we do review places like this, we try to get different things to have more stuff to review. So I was like, okay, well, how's the souffle? And our waiter literally said, well, sometimes it comes out good, sometimes it comes out not so good. And I was like, that's not a glowing recommendation. And then I was like, okay. Like I was looking at the I was like, well, how are the donuts? And he's like, well, sometimes. I was just like,
it was almost like they were pushing us to the five magical bites.
And then I didn't care about, I didn't want cheeses and the tart. So the tort didn't sound that great. So really the only other thing I was like, I think I'll just get the magical bites as well.
Yeah.
And it was good, but it was very, it's just little small bites of different types of cake, which
were
fine, but they weren't, the cake wasn't that amazing and they were very, very small.
I wouldn't say it was bad.
No, I don't.
It was still delicious.
It wasn't. I'm not saying it was bad. It wasn't. I'm not going to say it was like the best cake I've ever had.
No, it wasn't amazing, but it was good.
So it was solid, but it was just very small. To me, if you would have finished this meal off with like a bread pudding or something along those lines that you get at other places, especially the price tag for this, you potentially could come across as this being like maybe the best meal outside of I haven't had Victoria Albert's, but maybe the best meal on property.
I mean, it's up there.
The weak point on this for sure was the dessert. I felt. I mean, if they just had better options there, or just said, a bread pudding or something, because that'd be easy to do, a bread pudding or some sort of twist on something like that.
Yeah.
That was, I would say, the one point I was a little disappointed in was that part.
Let's talk about price at the end.
Right.
Let's talk about everything. Okay. Yeah. So what else are we? I guess the decor, like the restaurant?
Yeah. I mean, we've been up there before, but yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful restaurant. We were there at night, so we were able to go. We watched middle of our meal. We watched the fireworks.
I think we had ordered.
We ordered and we hadn't got our food yet.
Right.
So they don't bring out any food during fireworks.
Everything stops.
Yeah. So
they pipe the music in. You can watch it from your chair, or you can go outside and watch from the outdoor balcony area.
So we went out there and watched the firework, which is cool. I mean, we've seen it before. It's interesting with how far away the fireworks actually are from the castle. You see it on the, because you're kind of off to the side a little bit when you look at it. But
yeah.
That was really cool.
It was nice.
Go out there and do that. But decor wise, I mean, it's pretty. It's like
a lot of gold.
A lot of gold. I mean, I've always felt California Grill still feels a tad bit outdated.
I don't think it's like outdated. I actually like the way the kitchen is set up because it looks open.
Yeah.
To
I would say know. Elements. I think of it because I'm having been to Topolino's, I feel like that's so well done. that type of thing there. Because it's not that outdated is not the right term. There's certain sections of it where I'm like, oh man, it's great and it's a fancy place and it's very nice, but there's elements of it that could be a little bit more updated, I think, that would kind of give it a little bit extra like modern feel to it, maybe.
Which is funny because they've redone it.
Right.
You know, so you'd think.
That's just a personal preference thing. But atmosphere, ambiance, I mean, it is, you know, it's a fancier, it's definitely more of a fancier place than we typically eat.
Yes. And it's quite the process to get up there. So you have to go to, I think it's the second floor?
Third floor. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure it's the third.
And it's the only thing on that floor. The check-in desk. So you go in and check in for the restaurant, and that when your table is ready, then they send you up in the elevator, and yeah. It only goes to that one place, just up the 15th floor, and then that's when they seat you. So since we were there during fireworks, this wasn't an issue. You know, we ordered, watched the fireworks, came back and ate our dinner. It was great. But if you are doing dinner before that, or earlier in the day, if you keep your receipt and your meal's over, you leave, you can come back to the check-in desk and show your receipt and they'll let you up to watch the fireworks.
Yeah.
Which is a great perk.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially if you can't get a time during the fireworks and you really want that advantage of seeing the fireworks up there.
So. I would definitely give yourself time on that before the fireworks, because there was a decent line of people, and I don't know if all those people got up or not. I don't know how that was working.
I think they were starting to come up after we got up.
Okay.
I think they were starting to let people up. I mean, they've done it many times.
So. True. Yeah. So.
But anyway, that's the process to get up there and then to get back down. Same kind of thing. But.
There was a wine. It was like a wine tour you could take thing. I think that was actually like $85. It was like wine pairings with it. We didn't do that because, again,
I'm not a drinker.
That would be lost on me. I enjoy some wines, but like expensive. I've had very expensive wines and I've had cheap wines, and it, to my novice palate, it all tastes rather the same. So it would be lost on me. So
yeah.
But all right. Well, I guess. Okay. How much is this?
So for adults, it's $89 per person, and for children, it's $39.
So it's pricey.
It is pricey.
Again, it is very good. The only complaint I would have is the dessert. Just being at that price tag, I feel like there should be just better options for it, and maybe bigger portions. In something more, again, if they'd ended that meal with like a bread pudding, I'd have been completely, even though obviously
he really wanted a bread pudding.
Well, I'm just using that example. Like you go to Ohana or even like at Sebastian's Bistro, they end it with bread pudding. Like they end it with like a more of a grand dessert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't normally spend $90 on myself at a meal, but even with something like that, I've been like, okay, that potentially is worth it. Like given, again, that's a question I guess we can talk about in a minute, but if it's worth it. But that's the price on it. What would you give the meal, like 1 to 10?
I can hardly give anybody a nine. I would say, because the dessert wasn't the best, I would say 8.5.
I was thinking eight and a half, from around there. I mean, again, the dessert was the weak point.
Yeah.
But that was probably the best steak I've ever had.
Yep.
The sushi was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Atmosphere is great. Our waiter was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice because it was just, you know, your parents had the kids, so it was just you and I.
Yeah.
So, it was, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes.
So I guess it comes into question that a lot of people ask, at this price tag, is it worth it? This is completely subjective.
Obviously.
First off, I say it's completely subjective, but would you feel that it is worth it at that price tag?
For the amount of food you get, no. But hold on.
I thought you were not done yet.
If maybe we had gotten different desserts or something that was even like a little bit bigger, maybe. Like the portions aren't very big, which I know it's like quality over quantity.
Right.
Here, you know, I get it. And you've got the fireworks and you've got the ambiance, and it's like, you know, it's more of an experience versus, like get in and get out kind of thing with like
right.
casual restaurants or whatever. So I don't think it's, I don't think it's worth it in that respect. But if you're going to celebrate something, you just want to enjoy yourself and have, you know, have, you're going to have a really good meal, then yes, it's worth it.
This question is interesting because, again, we're not fancy people.
We're not fancy
people. We don't really eat out much unless we're at Disney for the most part. I mean, we have small kids. Like, I never have tended to, you know, growing up, you ate out more than we did. Like, growing up, like, we never really ate out much. Oh, my gosh.
All we did was eat out.
Right. So, you know, is this worth it? I think if you are a person that enjoys like fine dining, which fine dining is a separate thing. So you're talking about the food amount. Like it's, so it is definitely more like the quality. Yeah. A lot of times you are getting smaller things, but it's like, first off, like the food was excellent. Dessert was a little lacking, but you do have the atmosphere. You got the fireworks, you know, is it worth it? You know, if you're a person that enjoys fine dining, you're used to that sort of price tag, you may find it worth it. If you're a person that's more, you know, you normally are, you know, spending much less on a meal, I don't know. I would probably say, at the end of the day, no, it's not worth that price tag just by itself. But do I regret that we did it? No, not at all.
No.
It was a great meal. We had a great time. Sure, it was a little expensive, but it's like, you know, it's it's an 11-year anniversary. We don't do that a lot.
Right.
So I don't – maybe that sounds strange. So I think it's worth it, no, but I don't regret doing it. So, but I don't know if any meal's worth $90, you know what I mean? That's really dependent upon you and your personal preferences and things like that. But, that would be – I would say maybe if you had a really good dessert, it would come close to me saying potentially worth it. And maybe, like, if I'm being nitpicky, a better dessert and then steak a little bit bigger – maybe more of like the mashed potato, because there really weren't many mashed potatoes with it.
Right.
But maybe something like, but that's being very nitpicky. But again, very good. It's just, it's definitely pricey. You do get AP discount.
Yep.
So it was a little, we did get a little bit of discount on there.
Like 10%, but.
Yeah. So.
It's something.
Yeah. It's something there. So. But anything else you want to add about California Grill?
Just that it is a 50th anniversary celebration menu. So this is just a limited time thing. I mean, I'm guessing it'll go for the next, you know, 16 months or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not permanent.
Yeah. Well, because when we had it back at our 5th anniversary, we had it was much cheaper then, because we had, I'm pretty sure I had a flatbread, and you had, we got like stuff off the appetizer menu, I believe. So,
well, yeah.
Different times.
Different time.
But yeah, so I mean, that meal maybe then would have, it might have cost us $30-something at that time, maybe.
No, it was more than that. It was like 50 or something. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But still. So if this is like a normal menu type thing, you know, you could get away probably for less than $90 per person under normal, under normal circumstances.
Unless you're drinking.
Well, that's anywhere at Disney.
Yeah. If you add alcohol in, obviously that's another, you know, cost there, but we don't typically order alcohol with our meals. Like, typically not.
Unless they came around and said Blue Moon's like $2 or $4. I'd be like, okay, but no.
Typically, I don't think they'd offer that at
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, typically at Disney, drinking at Disney is an investment.
Yeah.
And when I say investment, I don't mean investment in terms of like you get money back. You just, it goes down to a black hole and it's just a lot more money. But enjoyed it a lot. It was a good meal. So.
And you can take the menu home with you, which is what we did.
We did keep it as like a little commemorative thing.
It was nice.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think that will do it for the episode.
Okay.
Be sure to follow us on social media. We at Instagram is kind of, I'd say it's the main one right now. That's at Cap the Magic. Same time we go to Disney Universal. Always have updates on stories, stuff like that. You can keep up with the show. And if we, you know, like Black Friday sales, anything like that, we're going on the shop. You'll know about that from Instagram. We also have a TikTok, which is at Capture the Magic. We're doing more stuff on there. You know, we have Twitter at Cap the Magic, but that's not really updated too much. We have the Facebook group, Capture Magic Facebook community. If you want to join Club 32, go to ctmvip.com. If you want to check out the shop with the candles or the shirts and the Black Friday sale, go to ctmshirts.com. And if you just want to go to the regular website, just ctm.show. So I think that'll do it. So
all right.
Thank you, Jamie, for joining us.
Thank you.
Us as myself and the audience.
Well, right.
Thank you. Yes. And thank you, audience, for joining as well. I'm welcoming both of you. And as Jamie always likes to say,
we'll see you in the parks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, my gosh.